Welcome to Not Terrible.
I'm Jess Hooker.
And I'm Mary Graham. This is episode 2 of the Not Terrible podcast. Today we're talking with authors Sherry and Brian Lowe about their new book, Your Money, Your Marriage, and the secrets to smart finance, spicy romance, and their intimate connection. Not Terrible, a field guide for the hopeless optimist. All right, it says the most searched combination of words regarding marriage is sexless marriage. We're starting off strong with sex.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage. Over 21,000 Google users per month type those words into the one place most people are bold enough to be honest, the search bar. These searches outpace the next best contender, unhappy marriage, threefold. Couples aren't talking to each other about their struggles with sex and money, but what if they did?
Yeah. This has been so eye-opening for me. Like, the correlation between, I guess that was my first question. When did you guys realize the connection between finances and intimacy?
That could be the best question we've been asked. I think we've always sort of noticed it because I'm not a comedian, but I have the mind of like an observation comic.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Mean, and so you notice these things. It's easy to notice the inverse. So people that don't have their money straight don't seem to have great relationships because they're always fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we say in the book early and is just true is, you know, think about that fight that you had with your spouse. You know, whenever it was, whatever it was about, it probably didn't end in a hot night of passion.
Right.
So we know that the inverse is true. And so the idea then is if arguments about money pull us apart, then agreements about money must push us together.
Okay.
And so you know, it's kind of a transitive property. If one is true, then the other must be true. But really, I think it's when the first book came out that mm-hmm. we started to pick up on this.
Okay.
Yeah, when Slaying the Debt Dragon came out, the biggest piece of feedback that I got from a lot of readers was, yes, this is a great book about money, but this is a book about marriage too.
Wow.
And so it was kind of interesting to us. And we knew that we had developed a certain set of skills to be able to pay off $127,000 in debt together that were transferable. So when you can communicate about money and you can be bold and you can be honest, and honestly, in a lot of ways, when you can be naked about your finances,
right,
then there's a certain level of vulnerability that steps in and a certain level of trust that becomes at hand that allows you to transfer what you've learned about your bank book into the bedroom.
Hmm. That's great. And I didn't, when you made that reference, I thought about, and I don't know if you remember anybody like this when we were growing up, but I remember going shopping with girlfriends and their mothers and us coming through the door and they were like, hide the bags.
Yes.
Like the very first, like we didn't do that at our house, but I know a lot of people whose mothers like, don't tell your dad we spent this
well,
much
that's
money
like
today.
That's like a meme just, thing right mm-hmm. now.
Oh, is
right?
it really?
Do you see
oh,
this
okay.
on Facebook? I see this all the time. People posting memes that say like, me hiding the Amazon boxes before my husband gets home from work. You know,
okay,
and I'm like,
we're not talking about I'm Amazon like, boxes.
Yeah, cheer. Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm just
too.
Kidding. I'm
too
sorry.
Close to
but
the bone.
You know, I'm like,
no.
I know we
it's
all
a joke,
we look
but,
at. We think it's funny, but there's mm-hmm. a little tinge of
but
sadness there,
is.
There
yeah.
too, right?
Yeah.
There's a little tinge of sadness to hide the bags, like because there is not. Mm-hmm. honesty going on there and there's mm-hmm. not transparency. And I think when we can trust each other in one area of our lives when it comes to marriage, then we can trust each other in other areas too. And nobody wants to get naked with somebody they can't trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so, yeah, that's really true.
I guess this is kind of, we should ask at the beginning, but what's the first book? What's your like
yeah.
story? Where's this money kind of like passion come from for the Lowe's?
Right. So we're Brian and Sherry. We've been married since July the 17th, 1999. So we
were still in high school. I don't mean to brag.
Oh. So old. But we started out really without a clue about how to manage money, and we ended up in a huge amount of debt, which included student loan debt, car debt, consumer credit card debt, furniture we bought on a payment plan, medical debt, like you name it, we had it. And in 2008, on April 2nd, because it's never a good idea to begin anything on April 1st, we began a journey of paying off all of our consumer debt. And it was a journey that we thought would take us 15 years, 7.5 if we really hustled. And yet we're really thankful that God is much better at math than we are, because just under 4 years later, we sat at our kitchen table and made our final payment to Sallie Mae. It's actually out there on YouTube. You can go and watch us do that. On March 28th of 2012, and we'd paid off $127,482.30. Sallie Mae still owes us 33 cents because we overpaid.
I hope they're listening.
We try to get it back. We called them. It's not on YouTube, but we do have it on video. It was pretty hilarious. They were very confused. But anyway, we learned so much. And then in 2015, the first book, which I wrote entitled Slaying the Debt Dragon, came out, which really just shared our story and some practical strategies for other families, and most of all, hope, because the more people we encountered along the way that said, me too, we're scared, we have all of this debt, mm-hmm. we don't know what to do, mm-hmm. we feel overwhelmed, we feel trapped in a lot of ways, was amazing to us. And so that first book is just really, I hope, chocked full of hope and practical tools. And then this book, the concept for it, we already had around that same time. And then it's this idea of financial foreplay. Mm-hmm. And you see it all kind of traced through the entire book, which I think intrigues a lot of people when you mm-hmm. throw that term out there.
Yeah, when you said that so often people are like, so what's the new book about? And you said, how smart money management habits lead to great sex in marriage. And that will get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
Can you tell how people react when you say that?
Yeah. Usually their eyes are wide open and they look shocked. And then they look intrigued mm-hmm. immediately afterward. And it's sort of immediately that makes sense. And tell me more mm-hmm. About that. Because I think we get it. Good communication is good communication, and if you can communicate about money, then you can communicate about other things. And the idea is just growing closer together and that anticipation when you can trust someone and they're making wise choices for you and you're making wise choices for them, then ultimately you anticipate better things to happen and you grow closer together.
So I know this. Because we're friends. Pat myself on the back. So by day, Brian, you are what? What's your job?
I'm a superhero.
Oh, wow. That's what the tights are.
It's making me uncomfortable,
but...
by day, I'm an attorney. I've been practicing now since 2002, and I've been working at law firms for about 20 years, and about... 70% of what I did for most of those 16 years was family law, divorce law, if you will. And so I've had couples in my office, just at the brink, at the worst point of their lives. And most of the time, there are issues about money mm-hmm. surrounding this. And again, just from someone who deconstructs problems, I'm like, well, how can we help this before these problems manifest itself into something worse? And what are the things that we hear repeatedly? And some of that is peppered throughout the book yeah. as well. And we've kind of reverse engineered some of those concepts to say, all right, people talk about, well, we just grew apart. I don't know. I'm not buying that. You know, that's conscious choices over time. Will lead you apart, and it's nothing that just
magically or mysteriously.
Yeah, right. there is no mysterious force here.
Yeah,
there is no economy or the government or the things like that we tend to blame stuff on. These are choices that we make, and so what choices can we make to move toward being planted together? And I think we've done that. I think we've done that pretty well.
I was going to ask the question. We just grew apart, so thank you for anticipating that.
It's part of the lawyer thing, I guess.
You knew.
Yeah.
So you talk about, in the book, you talk about a heart change when we're talking about finances and how that connects to our marriage. I think so many of us, and this is a popular thing to say, where we like plan for the wedding and we don't plan right. for the marriage. Mm-hmm. So how do you, thinking now to people that are married or in a long-term relationship, and they have to backtrack. Like, how mm-hmm. do we do that when we realize we've made some bad choices and we don't want it to end in Brian's office? Like, mm-hmm. how do we course correct when we feel overwhelmed or hopeless?
Yeah. I think the starting point is just realizing it's not over. Like, mm-hmm. don't just automatically jump to that conclusion. And then probably the other thing is just the shift in mindset, because I think the words that I least like to hear when people email me from queenoffree.net, where I blog on a regular basis, they'll say something like, sometimes, we're already doing everything that we can. And I think that mindset will kill it right mm-hmm. there. If you have Absolutely. The mindset that...
To know everything?
Well, just that if you're already... You feel like, oh, we're already stretched so thin. We're already doing everything we can when it comes to money, when it comes to marriage. To me, that signals that you've given up. Mm-hmm. And because I'll be real honest, we paid off $127,000 in debt. We didn't do everything we could. There are still some things we could have done that were more mm-hmm. extreme, right. you know?
And, right.
But you picked in... chose what you
yeah we yeah. did definitely you know so but if you shut off your heart and your mind to the potential for growth, and we talk about in this book that improvement requires movement, yeah. you have to move from mm-hmm. something to something, and every chapter revolves around coaching couples toward moving toward healthier behaviors. So beginning with that square one of yes, there's hope. Yes, there is something you can do. You may not know what it is yet, but we're going to figure it out together. So you got to start there, and then you got to follow it up with, this person is for you. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to money, it's really easy within marriage for us to see every purchase we make as necessary and every purchase that our spouse makes is frivolous. And
Absolutely.
Right?
Always.
Right?
Yeah. So always.
We're coming from that perspective all mm-hmm. the time of, well, I'm doing this because I have to, but he's doing that because he wants to.
Yeah.
And we have to correct that thinking right off the bat, you know, that sometimes you do make mistakes too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they make good choices, and we're both human. And so, you know, really having that perspective, but also realizing your spouse chose you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were crazy about each other in the beginning for some sort of reason. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And it was good. Mm-hmm. And so returning to that beginning, I think, is really powerful and important in realizing you're not out to get each other. We're not trying to sink this ship. Yeah. We really want this person to be fully alive and awesome. We want to be fully alive and awesome. And they want that for us, too, instead of starting from that adversarial sort of position.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes from the book is, if you let your marriage happen, it will fail. And I think that that's the mm-hmm. case with most relationships, even your relationship with your finances. You have to actively be involved in that. I just have to tell you guys how much I enjoyed the emotional transparency of it's not all like, I was like, I there is a reason I don't read money management books, but this was like, oh my, these people are savers and they have feelings. This is great. Like, I could really read this. Yeah. And it's relatable. So I just want to say thank you for sharing that, you know, like, we love each other and we were in debt and yes. it didn't make us hate each other, which right. I think happens.
And not only that, we said the goal was to write this book and stay married.
Yeah. Exactly. Which
That's
I cannot.
A huge know. Accomplishment.
That Writing is. It yeah. together and not driving each other bananas. But mm-hmm. we didn't want it to be your average personal finance book. We put so many stories, and I don't know if you picked up on that.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Like, we wanted to use funny stories. We mm-hmm. wanted to use stories that were moving and also encouraging for people, so that they weren't just totally checking out. Like, this is not a numbers book. There are definitely practical ideas in it.
Absolutely.
But it is an entertaining
read. Yes, I was going to say, it's your storytelling, and then also going, by the way, this is how you apply this knowledge.
Yeah, here's how we did it wrong, or here's how we did it right.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I am a sucker for a good story, and so that you've got me, and I think that that's going to help you reach a lot, a lot of other people.
Do you have a favorite story, or do you remember?
Oh, I wrote
like
some down.
Put
Hold
you, like,
on. Mary, do you have
spot?
Another?
Well,
no. I
mine's
have a
not a story, but I love that when you said something about, Brian, do you not like to touch doorknobs?
Oh, yeah.
Look. Look. No, I it's not that I don't like to touch doorknobs.
I mean, I personally love to touch doorknobs. So right?
I don't know that anybody's like this fan of, you know, I'm going to touch that doorknob. No, I just don't.
Do you have germ issues?
You know, I think objectively Sherry's speaking, maybe I have germ issues. I don't because I don't touch anything. And so the germs aren't a problem for
right.
me.
Oh, that's a very lawyer answer. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think that's, I don't know if I have a specific story that stands out, but just those little tidbits of like, not only do we have money issues and we worked hard to combat those, but like, you kind of poke fun at each other, or like the thing about the wiggly tooth and the vomit.
Yes.
Like,
I think
feel
every couple has stuff. Like
I will
that.
Pass out if you show me your wiggly tooth. So I felt like Brian and I were just we're connected at like a soul level, but I can handle the throw up because my daughter just threw up on Saturday, so I can handle throw up.
Well, don't touch Brian.
Yeah,
right.
Brian, come here. Let's hug it out.
Where are the alcohol swabs?
So
it's
I
in
loved,
my contract.
Yeah, like I loved all the little bits that weren't necessarily about money, but just about knowing someone really well and being aware that they are not the same. We don't think the same. We don't act the same. We don't always have the same ideas in our head, but we can still love each other through some hard like or some conflict, and
yeah,
that
and
is,
conflict is good.
Yeah,
that's like the one thing that we really hope couples pick up from this, because I think sometimes we think when we fight that something is wrong with mm-hmm. our marriage, mm-hmm. But you should not be in 100% agreement all the time. That makes you a robot.
Yeah.
That makes you like not a healthy relationship. And growth comes from conflict. In mm-hmm. the natural world, you know, for something to live, something must die. That's just the way that things.
Yeah.
Work. And so we really wanted to be sure, you know, we do poke fun a little bit, but I think trying not to do that in a way that tears one mm-hmm. another down, but just acknowledging like the whole trash stackers and smashers.
Stackers
thing,
and smashers.
Right. So, like, we feel like every married couple, one mm-hmm. person is a trash stacker. That's like the person that plays Jenga with every paper towel and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's the smasher, which is totally me, who comes by and like
there's plenty of room in
pushes
this.
Pushes it down, and then the bag weighs like 400 pounds by the time you get ready to take mm-hmm. it out.
And there's a little hole in the side that you don't see when you're carrying it
right,
out.
Right, in the end, somebody's got to take out the garbage,
Yes.
You know, and so we're different, and it's totally fine for us to be different. But the problem is still central. We still have trash.
Right.
So what are we going to do, and how are we going to deal with mm-hmm. that?
That's interesting. This is what really sparked conversation at our house was the rumble strips.
Oh.
And it was the lesson that we applied there. So we talked about how you fell asleep in the middle of the day.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's another life. I was a much younger human and hadn't had a lot of sleep. And there was this huge honk, mm-hmm. you know, behind me that you wake up. And sometimes it's like a dream that someone's honking. But no, for me, I was in somebody's yard in between telephone poles
yeah.
and steered back onto the road. And, you know, these rumble strips are placed on highways. They're the little divots on the outside of the white lines.
That makes your car sound like it's farting.
Right, right. And it is an irritating noise that I can't replicate. I think everybody would have their own version, but it's a, you know, that kind of a noise. And it's supposed to alert you to get back in your lane.
Yeah.
And we need those rumble strips in our lives. And one of the things that you notice about rumble strips is that no one's putting them down as you're driving,
right.
They're already there ahead of time.
Right.
And before problems come up, you need to have rules. You need to have boundaries in your marriage so that you can know when you're kind of drifting off course and get back in the lane.
Yeah.
So yeah, rumble strips, that was a decent concept.
Yeah, it made us have a conversation at our house, and we have rumble strips in place in terms of like you guys make the reference, like if a opposite sex coworker asks for a ride home, just different things like that. Mary and I have had this conversation before about texting the opposite sex.
Right.
You
sure.
always either you either wives text wives, husbands text husbands,
right.
or everybody's on a group text.
Right.
That's
right.
how you do it, and that's one of our rumble strips. Like that's mm-hmm. how this works. But the thought that, oh my gosh, to have financial Rumble strips in place, like that's new for us. It's like, oh, well, I spent this much today and you spent that much yesterday. Okay, we're even. Yeah, that's about, we could probably do this well, and all it would take is a little bit of communication beforehand.
And for us, you know, while we were paying off debt, that looked like anything that was outside of the budget. So not like the groceries. I'm not like in the store looking at cabbage and calling Brian. Like,
is this 2 pounds okay? Yes,
is this all right? You know,
I think the answer to cabbage is always
no. Always no. Yeah.
I love some cabbage.
Speaking
of Rumble strips.
Oh, no. But it was $10, which sounds crazy to most people. But for us, if it was not in the budget and it was $10 or more, then we just tagged in with each other. And sometimes it looked like a text, or sometimes it was a phone call. And I don't remember once Brian ever saying, like, no, don't get that. Mm-hmm. Like, but it was like, you know, I need new shoes. I found a deal. What do you think? And he's like, please buy them. Yours have holes in them. You know, like, so that sort of back and forth conversation is not about controlling each other. Mm-hmm. It's just about making sure that we're both aware of what's going on, and we're both aware of our money, our shared finances together.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is brought to you by the Front Room Studio. Located 20 minutes east of Indianapolis in New Palestine, Indiana, the Front Room Studio is open to host your next event or gathering. Comfortably accommodating groups of 15 or less, the Front Room Studio is the perfect space for your next wine and canvas night, book club, shower, or even holiday party. Perhaps you're in need of a professional space to host a meeting or workshop. Our cozy conference table seats 10. Our modern vintage decor and natural light lends a unique backdrop to photographers needing a space for the day. Visit the Front Room Studio on Facebook to schedule your next event in our affordable, stylish space.
If somebody's listening and they aren't in a relationship yet and they think, oh, wow, that sounds like a good idea, what would you suggest, like, people before marriage or before, like, living together and putting their finances together? Like, what would be some tips or things that you would ask them to do if you were kind of coaching them on how to set themselves up for success so that they don't later have to
rewind,
find themselves in someone's yard between telephone poles.
Right. And you guys do touch on that this book is great. If you are not in a relationship, I really suggest this. This isn't just for couples married or not. If you are single and just starting out and living alone, I suggest you read this, and this will save you so much headache later on.
I would hope so, you know, that it would provide some hope and some direction, at least for where to begin. I think it's really important to have a conversation about how your family of origin viewed and used money. That's a really good early on conversation that you can have even when you're dating, before you're married, that doesn't necessarily become about how you use money, but it's so helpful. And in the example that's not in the book, but we talk about frequently, was when I was a kid, my mom always bought a new outfit for me on field day. And this is like a really unusual thing that, in fact, not so long ago, Brian said, I don't think I even knew that, but she always did. She, for field trips and for field day at school, which sounds crazy because like field day is like, you're going to get demolished. Mm-hmm. Right. But it made me feel really special, and I loved it. And it was this great tradition. And so then when we had kids and you know, it's like tug of war and whatever else, and I'm like going out to buy an outfit, and it's like, why wouldn't you just wear old clothes?
You're gonna sweat through that.
It has more to do with the emotional connection, because money is so emotional and personal finance is so personal. And so when you have conversations about, you know, how did your parents approach money, and did they fight about money, and was it always tight, or was it always spending? Like, what was your upbringing about? I think it's really helpful and kind of interesting, and you can have some perspective versus like you're in the middle of a fight and you don't know why. Mm-hmm. What else would you add for couples that are just
started? With that, if I would not have known that story, had that not been communicated to me, then that would seem like a really crazy thing.
Like frivolous, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But again, Sherry matters to me, that matters to her, so that's not a big deal, fine. But otherwise, it would have seemed really strange. Having those conversations early on, We talk a lot about money mentors as well in the book, and I think it's always good to have mentors in every area of your life, somebody that you can talk to that has been there. You know, money mentors are hard to find because they aren't typically the kind of people that are bragging about how great they are with money, you know, and usually they want to be left alone. But if sought out, they are also the kind of people that will happily invest in you too. And the kind of questions that you ask are, you know, what, how did you get here? If it's a couple, what do you do when you start to fight about money? You know, how do you handle debt? You know, what did you overcome? What would you tell us if, you know, what would you tell yourselves if you could over, you know, over again, and really learning from that type of couple, but having that kind of mentorship, I think is also really helpful, especially in advance of relationships, because those types of folks might be able to identify problems that you don't even know to ask about. And that's why I think the book is good, not just for people who aren't married, people who are married, and then people who actually have their junk together. You know, I mean, this isn't something, it may not be revolutionary to someone who has everything together, but it is a resource.
Yeah.
Because these are the kind of people that need to be investing in others. We can't just stand there and complain and say, oh, this next generation, whatever generation that may be, well, do something about it, you know? And there are questions in the book that make it just really accessible for someone who has those types of skills to lead other couples through it, whether it be in a small group setting or a one-on-one setting. So that's something else that we try to do with the book.
That's interesting. So Jess and I in our last episode talked about how we grew up. So her family, no one talked about money. Like, okay. Just didn't talk about it at all. My family, I grew up with an accountant for a father who was always doing something with money and being like telling us, and good or bad, like letting us know about finances. So we came from very different households, and then how that's shaping our kids. What are you guys doing as you raise daughters to prepare them for one day not being in your house and
that's
with
the goal,
money?
Right?
Yeah, hopefully.
The goal is someday they're on their own. So we have two daughters. Anna is 16. She's a junior. And then we have Zoe, who is in fifth grade. She's 10 years old. And it's interesting because they have a different perspective of the time period while we were paying off debt. Anna went from being in kindergarten to fourth grade. Zoe went from being an infant to being able to read. And so Anna probably experienced and felt more of the life change shift that we went under, where we like didn't eat out anymore and we didn't buy as many toys and we didn't do as many things because we had a greater goal. And then Zoe's kind of always just lived the way that we live now. And so I think that both of those experiences will uniquely shape them having lived through it. But we certainly talk about money as much as we can. I have always been a big fan of letting the girls run the calculator while we're in the grocery store and help me keep on budget, because boy, those little boogers will keep you, hold your feet to the fire, right?
Yeah.
So like, nope, mom can't do that, you know, but I think it's a good thing because then they automatically begin to learn how much things cost. And so they know now, you know, how much approximately the food costs at Aldi, because they're on a regular basis typing those numbers into the calculator. They probably get a little overwhelmed with us talking about money and the expressions that we use sometimes, but we certainly want to encourage them that, you know, money comes from hard work. You have to manage it well. You need to be giving to something that's greater than yourself so that money does not control you. You need to be saving for the future, for both things that you'd like to have and also things that you don't anticipate happening. And that you just need to also enjoy the money that you've been given, because it's a good gift, you know. It's not evil. It's a tool. We really want them to have that perspective and to have freedom within that as well.
We'd prefer them to make the mistakes while they're with us.
Yeah.
So for the last couple of years, we've had an account through our bank that it's a checking account technically, but Anna, our eldest daughter, has managed it. So the money that she makes with various jobs, she puts in there and she uses it like a debit card and then has to reconcile that and keep those accounts. So it's a practice mm-hmm. now. And I took her shopping. I remember the eighth grade. She had an eighth grade dance and she had to buy shoes. Watching the person try to take that card from her was one of the most joyful things I've experienced because, yeah, I think the sales clerk had to put her foot on Anna to pry the card out of her hand because it was hard that mm-hmm. way. And we've watched them make decisions that that we're proud of, mm-hmm. you know, because they've said no to a lot of things instead of just spending blindly. This pass back to school, we actually, mm-hmm. this is the first time we've done this too. We gave them not just the budget, we gave them the cash mm-hmm. and said, here's what we're willing to spend on back to school. Here you go. You better make a list, you know, because this is it. And they did an extraordinary job.
No fighting.
We came out ahead on this one. There is
they both
no
had money
doubt.
Left over.
They both had money left over, and that's we know crazy. It's less than what we would have spent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to listen to this.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Yeah, but we,
Anna's
we,
not
yeah,
allowed.
No,
yeah,
yeah, but we know it was less than what we would have spent otherwise, and they probably did a better job than what we would have. And it was
eye-opening.
Fun.
It was
a fun
experience. You know, as 16 and 10, and I like we give that. The 16-year-old a little more than we did the 10-year-old because
right.
she doesn't need as much. It was needs based on what they already had as well, but they milked every penny out
that's
of
awesome.
That. And so I think that's important. At the same time, I think I'd tell a funny story that I don't really think will be too embarrassing for Anna at this point. But while we were paying off debt, she went to the book fair. And I think that's another great place for you to give your money
oh,
to
yeah.
your kids and then set boundaries around them because the book fair – they peddle some crap at the book fair.
That junk table.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the erasers that look like calculators mm-hmm. and smell like chocolate or whatever.
Giant
you
pencil.
Know, giant pencil, you name it. And so we had given her a certain amount of money to go to the book fair, and she borrowed money from a friend at the book fair.
Oh, my God.
And came, and then she used the borrowed money to buy a book for her sister. So it was like she was,
oh,
right? Yeah. And she's like trying to make a right choice. But, and then she came home and I'm like, look, no, like we do not borrow money. That's the whole reason why we're doing this pay off our
Have
debt.
Have you not
thing.
Been paying attention?
And, you know, a little bit of grace because I'm
yeah.
sure she was all of like 8 at
yeah.
the time, you know, but. So it was a good learning lesson where I was like, no, you need to go get more of your money and you must pay your friend back, which I know my mom friend was like, you're crazy. What is wrong with you? But I'm like, no, there's a bigger lesson mm-hmm. here, like of why we're doing what we're doing because we don't do that. And so there, I think, you know, valuing the successes, but valuing the mistakes too, because that's where we learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we're going through right now. My kids get like $5 a week if they do this giant checklist. Okay. I made it hard. Like you have to make your bed
work.
And yeah, Harper has bunk beds, so good luck with that. But when we go shopping now, like if I say no, I then say, "Well, you can use your money," and that shuts things down quicker than anything.
So fast.
Like,
yes.
"Oh,
so
you
fast.
You want to spend my money on that and
yes.
not yours." Okay, well, let's keep going. Let's just push this card on down the aisle cuz suddenly it weighs more when it's not their money.
Yes.
So I love that. I know a lot of people are against allowance, a lot of people are against like giving their kids money, but suddenly when you are an adult and you have money, you don't know what to do with it if you've never had
right.
it as a child.
You're working through that. I have a friend right now who's yeah. really big on making their kids pay for their own concessions at the movies.
Huh.
And so all of a sudden, like the popcorn that's like a must, mm-hmm.
yeah.
since he's using his own money, he's like, no way.
Yeah.
Or if he does, he's like, no
don't
one can
share it.
I'm not sharing this. I'm
I don't
not
know
sharing
that.
This.
And they're like, no, dad still gets to be able to pull because
I drove you here.
Paid
mm-hmm.
for the, yes, yeah, paid for the movie tickets.
I'm curious about that because I've been on the fence with paying kids for chores.
Yeah.
Because I've always, my opinion, well, I guess this is because this is how I was raised, mm-hmm. is that, no, these are the things you have to do to make
it's
a house run.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
You have to make this house run. No,
you live
yeah,
here.
We're
right.
not. I'm
right.
not paying you to
yes.
do this. You're going to do this. So we have those types of. There isn't. We don't have an allowance each week, but we do have a little clipboard, and it's jobs for hire.
Okay.
So things that I would pay other people to do,
yes.
right.
if
That's
you're
right.
willing to do, then there you go.
Yeah.
And it's like here's $5 for pulling. We have a big yard. If you want to pull weeds, here's $5. And you can take the $5 behind it and you did the job and mm-hmm. I'll stick something else in there. But I was curious because I've always been like, is this the right way to do it? I don't know.
There's some things that you get to live in our house, you get to eat our food, right?
And this electricity, I'm going to share it with
right?
you.
This is a gift, you know. And we are a family, and we take care of each other. Right now, we pay Anna's cell phone bill every month, so she's in high school. But she also then at least one night a month. Keeps Zoe and more than just like turns on Netflix, like does stuff with her.
Engages
with her so we can go out on a date.
Yeah.
So that's the way that you're paying for your
exchange
cell phone.
But yeah. Good services.
Yeah. But then there are like the disgusting jobs that I don't want to do that I will pay you for.
Mm-hmm.
So there are basic things like you need to keep your room in decent order. Need to, you know, for Anna, you need to do some of your own laundry. She doesn't do it all.
Right.
But you need to know how. And if I ask you to fold that loads of towels,
exactly.
I'm not paying you for folding the load of towels.
Okay. That's the easy load anyway.
Yeah, right? Do something complicated.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there, I think it's a balance in there. I do think that, you know, as a parent, it's a good thing to say, guess what? It's a blessing and we're a family and we take care of each other. Like, it's not just mom hauling, schlepping around
exactly.
the house, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
making sure everything gets done. You can be responsible for fixing yourself a sandwich. You can, I'm not going to pay you to feed yourself or do the dishes. You know, but for gross outside jobs, heck yeah, I'm going to pay you because I don't want to do it and it needs done, or for toilets or for, you know, things that I feel like are sometimes above and beyond like general neatness.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah,
stuff,
I agree. So. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want to switch gears. Can you talk about doing things naked in your book? Now, if you're listening in the car with your kids, maybe turn it off right now. I don't know. But what's going on? Lowe's, what is going on?
Oh.
I support it. I'm just saying that. I support everything going on.
You know, like, it's pretty hard to fight when you're naked. Let's just start from here, Mary Graham. But, you know, I think that we're a little cheeky in the book, and we did that on purpose. You know, there's only so many times you can read the word foreplay in print before you're like, good idea.
Yeah.
But so just a little tip out there if you're looking to buy it for your spouse. But I do think that, you know, there's so many parallels with this idea of being naked with each other. And I was just talking last week to somebody else about the fact that, you know, we try to cover things up and we try to hide in marriage pretty frequently. And it's something that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, the first married couple. You know, the very first thing that they did was run and look for clothes, you know? And so whether that is in the bedroom when all of our imperfections are on display and we stand there before each other and everything is visible, or that's when it comes to opening up our checkbooks and our wallets and we show the receipts and the mistakes that we've made, that is some scary stuff, right? And for me, it's like, it is difficult because it feels like a lack of control. And it puts yourself in the position of, will you still love me if? Will you still love me if, even if I've totally blown it, even if I'm naked here before you and I'm not perfect? And I think that that is hard. It gets into some territory that we don't necessarily correlate together. But yeah, you know, the budget meeting naked is a little tongue in cheek. I don't know if we.
I don't
ever,
want some butt cheeks on my kitchen chairs.
I don't think that's where you have this meeting.
That's where we have meetings. Everyone, get your naked butts down here.
Mary is so formal, even if she's naked.
Sit in a chair.
What's your posture?
Put this kitchen towel down.
Anyone want to come over for dinner? No? No?
That's funny.
Our poor children.
That's
okay. Yeah. So the book is Your Money, Your Marriage, and it's Sherry and Brian Lowe, and it'll actually be out tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Thank you guys so much. Will you share how people can get a hold of you and follow you on social media?
Certainly. So you can find me at The Queen of Free on almost every single platform out there, and my primary site for money saving tips and ideas, and of course freebies, is queenoffree.net. And so you find me there. But the book itself has a URL too, which is yourmoneyyourmarriage.com. And it has lots of extra resources available to you, things like money chats that you can begin. So there are options for you on the website that you could engage with when you order the book today. The book's available on Amazon, wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, in stores, ChristianBook.com, you name it, it's out there. So if you find the platform, you will be able to buy it. And we just pray that it is an encouragement and a resource for everybody who's listening.
Brian, are you anywhere? No.
Not really.
In the present. He is in the present.
I'm here.
I dwell in all of you. Wait, no, that's not you, Brian.
Not really.
Yikes.
Thank you guys so much for being on.
Guys.
You've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit us at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and additional content. You can sign up for our newsletter for bonus episodes and podcast extras. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. When you subscribe, leave us a review. We'd love to share it on the podcast, like this one from Heather0304, who wrote, "I love the realness of this podcast. Jess and Mary are so relatable. I feel like their healing is my healing, and their problems are so easily interchangeable with my own. It's a good testament to show that although we are all so different, we are all the same." Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and the Off the Air podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studios, this has been a Waco production.